This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Senior centers are places that deliver essential services, but they're a lot more than that. Winifred Hill, a regular at the Over the Rhine Senior Center, put it this way.
My name is Winifred Hill. It's a beautiful place. I love it. We all like family. You know, we just family. We all get along. We go on trips. Sure, it's wonderful. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want it, you know, I don't want it to close because it's something for me to do. You know, come down and, meet with the group and everything. We all get along like family, you know. We love one another. And I hate for it to close because you got the market right there, you know, and then the people down here, they even friendly. You know what I'm saying? And like the elders, you know, they don't have nowhere to go. And they could come here, you know, and eat breakfast, eat lunch, mingle with us and everything. You know, it's a beautiful place. The dust can't close this center. I don't want it to close.
When Cincinnati Area Senior Services announced almost 3 weeks ago that it would be forced to close Mrs. Hill's Senior Center in Over the Rhine due to budget shortages, a variety of people swung into action to discuss how this crisis was addressed or is being addressed and what it might say about the future of basic services for the elderly. We are joined by the CEO of the Cincinnati Area Senior Services, Tracy Collins, and Cincinnati City Council member P.G. Sittenfeld, who serves as the chair of the council's Entrepreneurship Committee. And both were just literally before they walked in here at a press conference on this issue. So we'll get the latest. To join the discussion, you can call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. Welcome, PG.
Good to be with you, Dan.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So as I just hinted, you were both at a press conference announcing something. What's been able to be announced?
So I'll kick this off and then hand it to Tracy, who's obviously a wonderful leader for Cincinnati Area Senior Services. I think Ms. Hill's comments first brought to life that what we just experienced, what Tracy and Cheryl, who runs the site day to day, you walk into the Over the Rhine Senior Center, it is a place of warmth and happiness where folks who, you know, deserve our support and respect in their senior years are going for a warm meal, for programming, for fellowship, and to be there, you know, you walk in and you're receiving hugs. It smells like a tasty meal. So, you know, there obviously have been some challenges to the operating costs with the building. It prompted a lot of us, myself included, to want to spring into action. The actual announcement that we just made is twofold. One is for the city to put forward $50,000 as a one-time disbursement, in part, in some ways, to kind of buy a little bit more time. We don't want to have to make decisions in a way that is hasty, right? And the hope is, because the annual operating deficit, rounding up a little bit, is around $100,000, that if City Hall puts forward $50,000, that will be a good sort of incentive for folks to say, well, let's match those dollars to kind of give ourselves a little bit of time there. The second thing, and hopefully this is a big deal, is to take the senior center and transfer it to Cincinnati Area Senior Services for $1. Now, as the media sort of reacted when I said that at the press conference, that sounds like a low amount. It is. But in fact, if you look at the history, the city actually bought it from Cincinnati Area Senior Services for $1. The hope in doing that, and Tracy can obviously speak to this better than I can, is that by giving Cincinnati Area Senior Services as much control as possible, by saying this isn't just a place where we're operating this program, this is our home, we own this spot, that also can be a sort of galvanizing, catalytic force to have more folks sort of chip in and say, what can we do to make this sustainable? So the big two things today are enough operating dollars from the city that no decision is being made hastily or under duress, and two, that CAS gets to control this building again, where wonderful programming for wonderful people that's occurred for the past 30 years can unfold in the same place for the next 30 years.
Tracy, okay, $50,000 of immediate assistance and control of the building. Does that meet the shortfall, the gap that you had? Does this make it possible for you to go forward?
That will allow us to make it go forward for two reasons. One is it'll allow us to say to our donors that we're going to be in this building for the long haul, and this we're going to have control over this building. And at any moment, the city's not going to say to us, you need to move someplace else. And this building was built specifically to be a senior center. So it meets the needs of the center. It has handicap restrooms. It has handicap access. It's built so that the seniors can get through it from a handicap. And so it says to our donors, when they give us money, that we're not looking for other space, so that they know that the money that they're going to be giving us will be for that site and for that location there. So that'll be a big win for us. The other thing that it will allow us to do is it'll allow us to take the upstairs space, which we're not using right now, and allow us to rent it out at market rate so that we can use those dollars to filter back into our operating costs to operate the building, which would be another big win for us. So that will help with that. The $50,000 will also help supplement the building cost that for the operation. So that will be a win for us too.
So what was it that sort of triggered the worry that you were going to have to close this particular center? Was it and does $100,000 really describe that, or is it that you saw issues into the future that, you know, you said we got to make a decision now to prevent long-term greater damage. Why did this come up as a budget problem? What were the underlying issues?
Well, no, the $100,000 really does describe it. Historically, we did receive money from the city of Cincinnati under their human services, that funding. And over the past several years, that funding for us was cut. It was reduced over time. And then in 2015 was our last year of getting that funding. And we lost that funding through them because—
So it was phased out completely.
It was phased out because senior services, funding for senior services is not our agency, but funding for senior initiatives is not part of that funding initiative. So we lost that. So in 2016, we were faced with, what are we going to do? So losing that was a big hit for us. Also, at the same time last year, we lost 50% of our United Way dollars. So having that blow too was like, that was like the final straw for us, that we were going to have to close. So in January of this past year, we knew that we were going to have to close our doors this year. So we began looking at additional solutions. We began to try to raise money through fundraising, try to raise money through other grants. And, you know, the reality is, and I say this to donors, and I hate to say this, but seniors aren't cute. They're not, you know, nobody likes to face aging.
I disagree. Well, I disagree.
It's difficult.
Seniors, PG's parents, I know. Myself, we're cute.
But when when you're trying to raise funding for seniors, it's hard for people to look at their own aging issues.
But the one thing I will say.
And so it's difficult for us.
Well, so Tracy raises such an important point. So the two concrete things we announced today, an immediate injection of $50,000 that, you know, I had multiple colleagues call me after the announcement saying, you know, let me put my wet signature on that budgetary motion, and the transfer for $1. But she is right. I mean, there does need to be a more global conversation, and I am going to be happy to initiate this around. I think some people had good intentions in terms of saying, because look, the things that are prioritized in the human services funding, addiction treatment, homelessness, you know, violence prevention has been in there. No one would ever say those aren't worthy. They're incredibly worthy. They're incredibly important. But it's not a win for the city to say we're going to help people in the grip of addiction while taking resources away from low income seniors who in their golden years just want to go for a hot meal. So I think you will probably see at minimum a conversation around the parameters of that funding. And, you know, I mean, look, my own involvement in senior services initiatives, you know, I created the Golden Cincinnati Initiative of the city, is no secret. So I think you'll see a lot of people like me advocating this has to be part of the total package of things that we believe are eligible for human services dollars.
PG, we all know, though, that the city is still struggling to put together a final budget. And so if you're $50,000 over here, which realistically means you're making some commitment for the future, undefined.
Well, that's a one-time thing.
Well,
so
that's
that
a one-time thing.
Right.
But if they're going to be able to keep going, so you have to redefine the services, you know, the scope of services.
That redefinition is key, because what Tracy's saying is if, you know, homelessness, addiction services, violence prevention, things like that are in there, but seniors, you know, care for senior citizens isn't even eligible, that's a problem.
And so Are you saying what has to happen is that category has to be expanded, or do we take money from someplace inside that category and transfer it to senior services?
Well, there are two answers.
Services.
You first have to remember, because as recently as a few years ago, Cincinnati Senior Services and the Over the Rhine Senior Center were receiving direct dollars. So is it taking from something else, or is it restoring to what was there before? Look, as a policymaker, as a budget maker, of course, my ideal is grow the pie. Let's be able to do right by various agencies and organizations that care for vulnerable members in our community. But if we can't grow the pie, Dan, let's at least share the pie. Let's not say to people in their golden years, you know, you're cut out entirely.
Well,
and no one who steps foot inside the Over the Rhine Senior Center, who engages with Cheryl, who engages with, you know, Mr. Beasley, who just spoke, Ms. Hill, who you played her comments earlier, anyone who spends 2 minutes in there would say, these folks have to have our support.
Okay, I've got a quick question. How many other centers does your organization, Tracy, how many other centers do you operate?
We offer 8 other centers.
Okay.
However, this is the only center that we operate in a building. So that we are responsible for. We operate other centers that are in either other townships or community centers or rec centers or in Cincinnati metropolitan housing buildings. This is the only site where those where the community doesn't contribute to us.
Okay.
All those other community sites contribute additional dollars, as much as is $50,000, to help support programming for us.
Well, you've brought up something, and we've talked to other seniors who use the Over the Rhine Senior Center, and I want to cite something that Barbara Clark, who is another regular at the Over the Rhine Senior Center, and she expanded on how the sense of community plays out and touches on a couple of things that you've hinted at before.
My name is Barbara Clark. The one thing that I really like about it is that they welcome the homeless people with their arms wide open, and they're able to come in here and get warm meals, well-balanced meals, and they just mingle right with us. And the other thing that I like about it is that Cheryl, the director, just has the right personality to be able to deal with us. And you have to have a right personality to be able to deal with some senior citizens.
So
Cheryl is amazing. That cannot be said enough.
So, yeah, and you had hinted at that before, or one of you did, and that just sort of jumped off at me. But the point here is that this senior center seems to also reach out, as Barbara Clark mentioned, to some homeless people. And so you're addressing multiple concerns and issues at City Hall all the time.
We have people who are homeless. We have people who suffer from addiction issues. We have people who suffer from mental health issues. We don't label them when they come in the door by their issues. We treat them as individuals. We don't even ask them to report. It's a self-report when they come in. They have to be 60 or older to come in. So we don't even ask them to fill out a piece of paper. They have to sign a form so we can pull down for their meals. But it's all self-report. They don't have to show identification or anything. And so they're treated like a human being. And so they're not labeled by their disease. They're not labeled by their status. They're an individual. So one gentleman said when we had to close the center, he said, for the first time, I'm being treated like a human being. And that's a big deal.
And why we don't want to take that away from them.
No.
And you should give, for folks that are listening and thinking, you know, what is happening at the Over the Rhine Senior Center for seniors, you know, almost all of them low income or struggling with, you know, the other challenges from that, the immediate neighborhood, but also surrounding neighborhoods. If folks want to chip in, let them know how they do that. But I actually think that there is such a huge heart in this community, Dan, for people wanting to support our seniors, because if you're not a senior yourself, you know, you love your grandma, you love your grandfather, you know, things like that. And as I've quoted a million times, Jock Pitts, the CEO of People Working Cooperatively, said, if you are not a senior citizen today, you certainly aspire to be one someday. I mean, it's very true.
That's very true. One thing that this topic got me thinking about was something that all of us in this county see is the Hamilton County Senior Services Levy. And I have to tell you, I sort of assumed that your organization must be one of the beneficiaries from that levy. Is it or isn't it?
We are. And I can talk about that. I was very active in the Hamilton County Elderly Services Levy. That levy is for homebound seniors. So that levy provides home-delivered meals, home health care, emergency services, and medical transportation. So we receive at our agency funding for home-delivered meals and for medical transportation. The meals that we're providing at the center are called congregate meals, and the transportation that we provide is called social recreation transportation. Those are funded by Title III Older American Act dollars, which have been flat for the past 15 years. And those are federal dollars that are passed through the Council on Aging to us. We're one of the few organizations that provides social and recreation transportation. So we pick up seniors within a 3 to 5 mile radius and bring them into the center. Without that, they wouldn't be able to even come there. They'd be sitting at home isolated by themselves. So that's the funding for that. The levy dollars do not provide that kind of funding.
Which is a really important point, because a lot of people, myself included, thought, you know, the voters of this county very generously, overwhelmingly support the senior services levy. So aren't there eligible dollars there? And because of what was explained about it being for homebound people, you know, well, can't those dollars be eligible for helping meeting operating costs at this building, which is a sort of a destination in some ways? They're not.
Yeah,
so CAS receives the dollars, but not for the Over the Rhine Senior Center.
Well, another key point to that, the levy dollars, is if you are able to get out and go to a congregate meal site, which is what our senior center is, you're not eligible for home-delivered meals. So if you're physically able to go to that site, or any site, not just our site, any site in Hamilton County, you're not eligible for home-delivered meals.
So that means to operate the Over the Rhine Center, which is unlike the other ones where in other communities where you were operating centers and the township or whatever was providing certain, you know, framework, backbone services to that. This really falls on you in terms of raising the money. Your organization has to raise the money to make OTR Senior Center really work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So that and
this that
is,
being a big part of the thrust of, you know, like, make this building their true home. And in fairness, the city has provided that facility rent free for many, many years. But to say CAS owns it, and I love what you said about, you know, creating opportunities on a not used second floor to fund the programming on the first floor. It makes a lot of sense. Dan, we got to get you. If you want to get smoked at bingo, you have a standing invitation. I've been on the losing end myself in the past.
So. I remember I grew up Catholic.
You played a little bingo in your day?
Timothy Metcalf, who also attends the Over the Rhine Senior Center and also works there a little bit. He works the door. Expressed the importance to him, its importance to him and others when we talked to him yesterday.
My name is Timothy Metcalf. This was to close down, like a permanent close down or something. I don't know what a lot of people would do, you know, or, you know. But, I mean, regardless of what happens, you know, of the situation that we're in right now, regardless of what happens, I mean, we'll still be able to gather and have good fellowship. Even when we got to move up to Mount Auburn or we got to move across the way here to the recreation center or we still stay here, you know, we'll still have, you know, be able to have good fellowship and everything and eat two good meals a day, you know, and, you know.
So sort of gets at, you know, what that socialization breaking the isolation that you were talking about before. It's a place where people can come and, I mean, humans are social.
Well, and Dan, since you cover every topic under the sun on Cincinnati Edition, you may have done a show on this at some point, but I feel like I've seen emerging and new research that flags isolation as much of a health epidemic as, you know, other sort of thing you think about, obesity or diabetes, things like that, that it is a real thing. So the service that Cincinnati Area Senior Services is providing, not just giving people a warm meal and that nutrition, but also, I mean, yeah, life is worth living because of the relationships of those around us. And again, you can't spend more than a moment in the Over the Rhine Senior Center without feeling the warmth and connectivity there.
Well, yeah, on that question of isolation, there was a very powerful article in New York Times this past week. So sometime, I know I saved it because I wanted to.
Are we
keep
allowed
working
to, for folks who are thinking, you know, this touches my heart? Can Tracy share how
could I stop you if you wanted to? So if people did want to support you, there is a website.
There is a website.
And there are instructions on there about how to become involved.
There is a website. We also have a website and we have a Facebook page. And those are, the website is www.cassdelivers.org. And we also, and you can find us on Facebook under CASS, also on
C-A-S-S.
Facebook. CASS.
So with this new building, or the new ownership of the building, the on the cost structure, are there going to be any additional costs because you now own it? Or on the other side, are there any cost savings that you can build into this program that helps you out in the future?
Well, there won't be any additional costs because what CASS has always done is maintain that building. So we maintain everything about that building. We maintain all repairs, insurance, utilities, all of that.
Okay, you pay utilities.
We pay everything about that building.
The rent's free, but the expenses are on them.
So everything. Yeah. Okay. We've done all the heating and air, everything about that building. I think the one thing that PG has offered us is, let's look at where we might gain some efficiencies in that building. It's an old building, so let's look at how we can do some maybe energy efficiencies there. The building was specifically built to be a senior center. Probably 20 years ago, it had some upgrades, but it hasn't had any upgrades in the past 20 years. So let's look at that.
Dan, as you know, the city, it's more challenging to offer ongoing operating dollars to bridge an operating deficit that an agency might have. We are very fond of, if there's a worthy project, and this is incredibly worthy, one-time capital dollars that then, you know, the benefits of that live with an organization for a generation. So part of the motion that, you know, I've initiated and that my colleagues have already started signing is to do a review. Are there one-time capital investments that could be made in the building with CASS as the owner, the city helping with those one-time capital investments that you say, because of the one-time investment of money, you have, you know, reduce the heating bill, reduce the cooling bill. Maybe you save on insurance because of whatever. So things like that. So I think the city is also very open-minded on that part of the conversation.
PG, are you facing, and we're running out of time, what are you facing in terms of getting your proposal through council? How much support do you think
you have? I think because, you know, creating the Golden Cincinnati Initiative and springing to action on this, a lot of my colleagues have reached out to me and just said, hey, you know, if you're taking the lead on this, let us know how we can support you. Literally 10 minutes after the announcement we made at the Senior Center today, two of my colleagues immediately called and said, hey, I'm going to put my signature on this. So I would, frankly, I'd be very surprised if 9 out of 9 council members didn't want to sign on board to supporting this worthy initiative.
That's an interesting number. Okay. I want to thank Councilmember P.G. Sittenfeld and Tracy Collins, the CEO of Cincinnati Area Senior Services, for being with us today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer, Selena Reeder, gathered all of those interviews that we heard from residents of Over the Rhine. Josh Elstro is the technical director. Archives are online, wvxu.org.